Welcome to this Saturday, October the 28th, day 301 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we are reading through the Bible. That's what we do. Every day we take a little time in God's Word. We let God's Word take a little time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. And we're going to kick off this Saturday in the book of Job, chapter 19, and then we go on to a book that has had a profound impact on my life. This is one of those pivotal moments in your life, if you could only know then what you know now, about how this book would change everything for you. The book I'm talking about is the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1 and 2 will be our reading for the day. Maybe one of these days I'll let you know a little bit more about how this gospel was a game changer for me, for our family. But for now, what do you say we jump right in? Mark, Job chapter 19. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Job's sixth speech, a response to Bildad. Then Job spoke again. How long will you torture me? How long will you try to crush me with your words? You have already insulted me 10 times. You should be ashamed of treating me so badly. Even if I have sinned, that is my concern and not yours. You think you're better than I am, using my humiliation as evidence of my sin. But it is God who has wronged me, captured me in his net. I cry out, help, but no one answers me. I protest, but there's no justice. God has blocked my way, so I cannot move. He has plunged my path into darkness. He has stripped me of my honor and removed my crown from my head. He has demolished me on every side, and I am finished. He has uprooted my hope like a fallen tree. His fury burns against me. He counts me as an enemy. His troops advance. They build up roads to attack me. They camp all around my tent. My relatives stay far away, and my friends have turned against me. My family is gone, and my close friends have forgotten me. My servants and maids consider me a stranger. I'm like a foreigner to them. When I call my servant, he doesn't come. I have to plead with him. My breath is repulsive to my wife. I'm rejected by my own family. Even young children despise me. And when I stand to speak, they turn their backs on me. My close friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I've been reduced to skin and bones and have escaped death by the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me. My friends, have mercy. For the hand of God has struck me. Must you also persecute me like God does? Haven't you chewed on me enough? Oh, that my words could be recorded. Oh, that they could be inscribed on a monument, carved with an iron chisel and filled with lead, engraved forever in the rock. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last, and after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him. For myself, yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. How dare you go on persecuting me, saying, it's his own fault. You should fear punishment yourselves, for your attitude deserves punishment. Then you will know that there is indeed a judgment. Mark chapter 1. John the Baptist prepares the way. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I'm sending my message ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven with coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locust and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him. "Be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. The fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he didn't allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places. But people from everywhere kept coming to him. Mark chapter 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Then Jesus went out to the lakeshore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and many disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who are Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them, but someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new clothes? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" But Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." And now may the Son of Man, who is Lord over all, give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Words are being spoken in this crowd that only Jesus can hear. The crowds have come to listen to Jesus, but Jesus has come to hear the crowds. There's a frequency of faith that Jesus is tuned into. He alone seems to be hearing it. Faith is being silently spoken by some in the crowds. From the four friends of the paralyzed man, they are silently speaking in faith. Words like, "Let's push through the crowds in faith. Let's dig in to this roof by faith. Let's hold on to these ropes in faith. Let's see what God will do." They were speaking words of faith. No words are recorded, but Jesus tells us what their actions say in faith. Each little action recorded by Mark here speaks words of faith, pushing through the crowd, digging into the roof, holding on to the ropes. It's all the language of the heart, and Jesus sees it and Jesus hears it. Seeing their faith, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Other things are being said in this crowd too that only Jesus can hear. Other things are happening that only he can see. Some are speaking the language of disbelief. Their lack of faith questions the heart of God. When God offers forgiveness of sins, they don't believe it. When God offers healing for the paralyzed soul, they don't believe it. Disparaging words of scorn and unbelief are spoken in the heart of some in the crowd, and Jesus alone seems to hear it. He hears them say, "Blasphemy. Who does this guy think he is? Only God alone can forgive sins." Words are being spoken in this crowd that Jesus alone can hear. There's a frequency of faith that he alone hears. The men who carried their friend in need were saying something in their hearts. They were saying words like, "Perhaps God in his goodness will help us." And Jesus heard those words. He saw their actions. And he spoke life to them. Jesus is hearing words spoken through the frequency of faith that he alone can hear. What words does he hear coming from your heart? Are they words of faith, or are they words that disparage God, that refuse to believe? Are they words that say, "Perhaps God in his goodness will help me"? Are they words that say, I will push through, I will dig in, I will hold on, I will trust in God's good heart"? That's the prayer for my own heart today, that I will have words of faith being spoken in my heart that Jesus alone hears, that I'll be reminded from this story today that God is indeed good. And sometimes faith requires us to push through and dig in and hold on. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer I have for my family too. For my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer I have for you on this fine Saturday. That you would have these words in your heart. May it be so. It's always great to hear from you. Always great to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon the podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. You know, Saturday is always a good time to let a brother know. You might have a few more minutes in your day. So reach out, would you? Holler out and tell me a little bit about yourself, how God's using his word in your life. Hey, you know, that's one thing that you can do with people in your life. You can share this app with people, with friends. There are folks out there that are hungry for the Word of God, and, well, you've got something right there in your hand, this little app that can maybe lead somebody on a journey of awe, discovery, joy, life. So how about sharing it with the people in your life? We made it real easy. All you have to do is click on the icon that says share the app. Another thing I would love for you to do is to sign up for our email newsletter. We send this out about once a month, sometimes less, like this month. It's not going to be one this month, but next month for sure. We'd love to have you receive that. Well, hey, my friends, I'm going to call it a day here. I got a lot of things lined up for me, and I'm sure you do too. And it is a joy and a privilege. It really is. I can't believe we get to do this. Until next time, let's go forward. Let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let God's joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again soon. You guys take care.